What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Langford, a blast to left. If it's fair, it's gone. It's bending towards the pole. It's a fair ball into the second deck. A two-run monster mash by Wyatt Langford. And the Rangers lead 8-1.
You're an idiot and you don't know baseball.
Ranger fans, you're not dreaming.
How can you not be romantic about baseball?
Oh, crap, I forgot of like a
How
RJ.
Can you not be romantic about awful comedy grades? And Jared Sandler, my text message is trying to explain away why he thinks RJ is funnier. There's no fixing this, Jared. You've already ruined it.
That has nothing to do. You got to do an RJ Choppy type Diamond Cavs tease. How can you not be romantic about scoring 10 runs to maybe salvage your season and save a sweep against the Toronto Blue Jays?
Sure. Can you not be romantic about potentially adding better players this offseason now that you have financial flexibility?
That's a good one. That's a good one.
Which it sounded like, I mean...
You're better at teases than RJ.
It sounded like...
No, you're not.
No, I know. I'm actually not. It sounded like, talking to Jared last hour, that's still the position of the team, is that, hey, we're going to have financial flexibility after this year. We just need to get through 2025. As soon as we do that, we are going to be there ready to spend.
Let's recap what happened. As I was ready to give the final nail yesterday if they got swept, I think Bobby may have given the final nail. But yesterday, five straight hits with two outs. They scored three runs. You got Marcus. You got Berger. You got Heim. And they get the easy W, 10-4. Saturday, Corbin allows a season-high 7 runs in 2 1/3, shortest outing of the year. He's winless since July 10th, has not finished the 5th inning in any of his past 3 starts, and then Friday was more devastation. I told you, it feels like every game we're covering some type of thrilling comeback attempt or a devastating loss. You're up 3-0 in the 7th. Magic Johnson Garcia gives up the 2-run homer. Then you get more insurance with Marcus going yard in the 8th. You're up 5-2, and then it all falls apart, and you waste 5 shutout innings from DeGrom. So that was the Ranger weekend. I got 2 other things before Bobby goes free agent shopping.
By the way,
after the weekend, and I usually get worried about you being too negative. The Ranger ratings have been incredible from the Tolos. People are tuning into the games with Eric, Matt, and Jared. And like Ranger baseball is the number 2 sport in this city behind the Cowboys and NFL football. It's a stronger ratings audience than it is like with the crowd and attendance at the Globe, because it's a really weak crowd. But that insult aside, I've been worried about you being too negative, that you crapped all over the trade deadline. You ended up being right. I think last year you gave some strong Ranger opinion. You ended up being right. So you're on a roll. As long as you're on a roll, you can be as negative as you want. Is it over?
Yes. I mean, look.
When did you make up your final mind?
I mean, I felt like it was over when they didn't make moves at the deadline, or the moves I thought they needed to make, when they didn't cover over the weaknesses that they had.
But so, I mean, like really, really over.
Philly. The Philly series is like, all right, this is over. I don't think they're bouncing back from this. Now, look, they're not obviously eliminated in the sense of they're still within spitting distance.
7.5 wild card, 7.5 West, 5.5 wild card.
Yeah, and so that's, could they go on a run where if they're hitting the ball like they did for that 6 weeks in June to mid-July, can they potentially rebound and find success and go on a run? Sure. That can happen. So that's within the margin of error. That's within the realm of possibility. I look at it and I say, everything we've learned about this team through 125 games tells me that the final, however many that is, 37, the final 37 games is not likely to show me some team that's wildly different. And the team that they are right now is probably about a 500 team.
If I gave you this stat in football, Choppy's going to predict the Rangers bounce back next year because of this stat. It's kind of a 50-50 thing. It's one-score games in the NFL. Nick Harris tweeted this after Friday. Rangers have lost 29 games in the seventh inning or later. 29. If I cut that in half, right? Law of averages. Wouldn't we do this in football? Next year, it's not going to go that badly for you. That includes 14 of their last 21. If they won just half of those 29, they'd be leading the entire American League by four games. How do I factor that in to being unlucky or not?
So I don't know.
Like while watching them day in and day out, I don't feel like they've gotten unlucky and screwed. But this stat could be spun that way. It's so, like your 6.1 score game.
Yeah, if you're now that's the thing is that losing in the seventh or later, that could also mean like you gave up five runs in the seventh and you end up getting blown out ultimately.
Right.
So the way that you generally what you look at is like, okay, do you have some sort of just unsustainable record in one run games? Like are you really great in those or really bad in those? So like last year, for instance, I think Texas had the worst. They were like the worst record in one run games, or they were for a long stretch of it. So yeah, they ended up finishing the year 26-20. But earlier in that year, they had been something like 9-17 or something like that. So those are the kind of things that you look at, and they do have a significant like below 500 record in one run games this year. They are. This season, they're 17-24. So that, obviously, you look at that and go, okay, that should be able to balance out a little bit, or that should be able to come around a little bit. Their expected win-loss right now, they currently sit at 62-63. Their expected record is supposed to be 67-58 is what their record should be, according to the expected win-loss. So that's a team that says they've been a little unlucky, like they haven't gotten the benefit of what they probably should. But I think that it's just tough to be, or actually, it's even better than that. It's 69-56. It should be the best record in the AL West if you look at everybody's expected win loss. But there's just something that tells me, like, when you watch this baseball team, you go, that team's not good enough on offense. So I don't care what it looks like they should have, because I say that offense shouldn't win even a 500 record.
Rangers Nation tweeted this out. This just hit me hard over the weekend. Rangers OPS ranks among Major League Baseball by spot in the batting order. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Leadoff, 29th.
Woo! We hit him one.
644 OPS. Second in the lineup, 11th.
Seager.
Third, 29th. Fourth, 30th. Fifth, 30th. Sixth, second OPS. Hell yes. Seventh, 6th. Eighth, 8th, and hitting 9th, 23rd. You're 3-4-5. Awful.
I don't know if I like that one.
Along with first, leadoff.
They used to call that the heart of the order, didn't they?
Like yep.
That's supposed to be exactly where you're raking and you're destroying. I mean, that's the problem where, and maybe I'll give them a little bit of leeway or a little bit of grace on the topic of, you know, there wasn't a move out there for us to make, like Jared was talking about last hour, or maybe we're going after it, and it's like they're wanting too much. It's not a deal you would have been happy with. Fine, whatever that is. There's no excuse for the late inning stuff. The fact that they didn't do more to take care of the bullpen situation or the closer situation before the season started. The fact that they just let that sit all off season. They've gone into the regular season, not really figured it out, and then they got to the deadline and didn't do anything to solidify it again. That's a problem when they didn't do anything to fix the closer role.
Diamond Cavs on the home of the Rangers with Sean and Bobby. Choppy is out this week on vacay in Gaylord, Michigan, the Gaylord Golf Mecca. You're shopping already since you think it's over?
Yep, it's done. Jim Bowden over at The Athletic had the top 25 potential MLB free agents for this upcoming offseason, because some of it's dependent on guys who opt out, whatever else. But we've got a list here that if you look at the top three, it's basically just the old Red Sox or the old Astros farm system, as it's Kyle Tucker, Framber Valdez, and Alex Bregman are the top three. But if you're looking at options to add and to flesh the Rangers out, what are you looking for? What do you want? You want a starting pitcher? You want a DH? What are you looking for? What are you in the market for? I'll tell you who we got.
Bats,
just any bats. Throw them out there. Give me an outfielder. Give me whatever. I'll say this. We just got done watching them. DH, you could always use a good DH or a really strong middle of the order bat. Kyle Schwarber, we could throw him out there. Kyle Schwarber is fourth on this list. He's the only former Astro that's on this list. He says Schwarber's putting together what could be his best year at the ideal time. It looks like he will set career highs in home runs and RBIs. He has hit 40 homers or more in three of the past 4 years and currently ranks second in the National League in homers at 42 and second in RBIs at 98. He's 32 years old.
Yeah.
But he's somebody, again, who will crush the baseball. The further you get down the list, the more you start going, oh, okay. Pete Alonso's on there at 5. You like Pete Alonso, but that was somebody that the Mets seemed like they were ready for divorce with just last year.
Yeah.
Bo Bichette, shortstop, Blue Jays, 6th. Go a little bit further down the list for some of the other bats because you got to get all the way down to 10 before the next bat comes through. Cody Bellinger. Bellinger's a good player. If you're telling me Bellinger is one of the 4 or 5 best position players that I can go out there and get in the offseason, that's starting to sound to me like the Rangers would need to add 2 or 3 guys for it to really make the impact that you want. You go down the list, Eugenio Suarez from the Mariners is number 11 on this list. Number 12, Aroldis Chapman, if you need some late inning help. He's had a dominant season this year for the Red Sox. He's up there. You've got the Edwin Diaz opt-out that you can get. We can bring the trumpets to Globe Life Field if you like. And then Josh Naylor is number 15. He rounds that out. But when you start looking at this list of players, Rangers have the 19th highest rated free agent on here in Merrill Kelly. He's on here. And so we start looking at the guys that are falling into that area, that range. You start saying, all right, how much can I really solve this team's problems versus just the guys that we've counted on? Evan Carter, Wyatt Langford, these guys we've projected as being big-time players. First, they need to just start being big-time players. But to me, if you need the money, go spend it. Like if you've got the money now and you've said you're ready to spend it, go spend it and overpay for some of these if you want to be competitive next year.
Bobby referenced the poll question. His worst of the weekend at 7:40 in the expressway was my wife and brother saying that RJ is the funnier one on the show compared to Bobby. Jared Sandler agreed with it, and I put it out on Twitter at 1053SS. Follow me. I'll follow you back. I put all 4 of us up there. Because I think Jared voted Peyton as the funniest.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Who's the funniest on the morning show? 46% have voted RJ Choppy. 29% have voted Bobby. 15% have voted Peyton. And I'm coming in dead last at around 10%.
Well, that sounds like touch the balls.
That sounds like Choppy and I are heading for a runoff. That once this poll is done, if he only has a plurality and not a majority, it sounds like then we got to enter a runoff. And I got to see if I was the second choice on people's ballots. Look, it's fine.
Well, he's winning the poll by 18%.
That's but he doesn't have 50%. This is a runoff. if you follow the way like we do Senate elections across the country in different states and stuff, that's the way we got to do it. We got to go to a runoff.
I called that one.
Let's get the star up, star down from Nick Eatman, DallasCowboys.com. He was working TV. His review of Cowboys Ravens and when do we need to start worrying? Nick Eatman joins us next.
And it's back to Sean and RJ right here on 105.3 The Fan segment here brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today at carsforkids.org and also brought to you by the personal injury lawyers Franco and Franco. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call Franco first, 214 or 817-333-3333 with Franco. Franco, there's never...
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots. He scores.
That's radio happening now, connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
For an out-of-pocket cost, they only get paid when you win. Franklin Frankel, the go-to car and truck attorneys in Dallas.
Third down, and Milton throwing it. No, he won't throw it. He'll be sacked for a safety. A little more presence. He's got to get rid of the ball. Milton sacked for a safety by Marquise Robinson.
The headline from Nick Eatman, DallasCowboys.com, need to figure out this backup QB situation. And Nick is joining us after the Cowboys 31-13 loss to the Baltimore Ravens at AT&T Stadium and heard right here on 105.3 The Fan. Nick is brought to you by the Windstar World Casino and Resort. Proud to be the casino of the Dallas Cowboys. Please game responsibly. How do they figure it out with what they have?
Well, maybe it's not what they have. Yeah. I mean, maybe it's what's out there. I mean, I'm seriously, it's
You don't have to tell us you're serious. We know.
I mean, yeah, it's. I think we all see it. I mean, like it was. This is a great experiment, but I don't know if this is. I mean, I still think, you know, Milton's a guy that could be there on your as your third guy. This seems very, you know, it reminds me a lot of last year, right? They traded for a guy. Obviously, traded for, you know, fourth round pick with Lance. This is a seventh round pick, but still, they traded for him with hopes that he would be ready for this, and he wasn't. So Cooper Rush was your backup. And so I think that they need to find a backup quarterback. Something would happen to Dak, and Milton can still develop and do all his things. But I don't think, you know, he's ready to be the backup behind Dak here in this offense.
Nick, how much of what you've seen in these two games surprises you based upon what you saw from Milton in Oxnard?
Honestly, nothing surprises me because I think I was pretty clear about what I was seeing out there as well. Like, yes, there are some really nice plays and there's some that aren't. And so we could see this coming. And this is standing there with the red jersey on, knowing you're not going to get hit. And still the ball was going all over the place. And so when the bullets start flying and you get out there in the game, you know, everybody that I would talk to was kind of like, let's see what happens. And, you know, and I don't know if they're letting him really run and be. It seems like he's been told not to. I can't confirm that. But it kind of what it feels like, hey, we know what you can do.
Right.
Let's stand in there and make the throws.
Right.
But that, to him, is not necessarily the way he plays quarterback. And so he does need to take off. He does need to run some, and that hasn't happened. And so I wonder if that's kind of messing with his head a little bit. But, you know, some of the basic throws – It's just not there, you know, and the mechanics wise, it's just not there. He needs to play. He needs more development. But I know I'm not alone in thinking that you know they've got to figure something out here.
Nick, I'm going to ask you a hypothetical. Before I ask you the hypothetical, let me clarify really quickly. I can ask you about a player not under contract with a team as part of my hypothetical, right? Like that doesn't get you in trouble the way somebody who's with another team.
Somebody not with the team?
Yeah, somebody's a free agent. Yeah, just somebody. Oh, yeah. Okay, all right, then cool. All right, we're going to throw out these names then. Your backup quarterback options are Joe Milton, Will Greer, or like the two guys who are the top of the free agent market right now are Carson Wentz and C.J. Beathard. Who are you going with as your backup to start the season? Are you just saying, let's go with Greer, let's roll with Milton, or do you just say, all right, grab me one of these guys off the free agent pile like a Beathard or a Wentz?
Yeah, I'd grab one of those guys. I can keep all of those guys still on my team. I can keep Milton as my third quarterback, even though I know they probably want to go short in some position, and maybe they do. But, you know, he could probably stay as your third. Greer could probably be on your practice squad as far as the development goes. But, no, I think I'd rather have another guy in there like that. And he may not be ready. You know, whoever it is has still got to learn your offense a little bit. But I would feel comfortable. I'd feel more comfortable about that, about a guy coming in ready to play. And just anybody that's shown that he's a good teammate, he understands the backup role, the backup position, and, you know, we'll be supportive of Dak and everybody around him. And that's what I would probably have to do at this point.
Nick Eatman, DallasCowboys.com, joining us on the D&M Leasing Hotline. Why isn't Dak going to get a preseason rep if that is the case in Game 3 as well?
Because to me, the risk reward is just absolutely off the charts of different of as far as a guy getting hurt and losing him in a preseason game versus a little bit of, you know, a little bit of reps here and there that he, and I still don't think he's going to be, you know, he's not going to go out there and get two series and go like, oh, I'm ready now. I don't think that, and I've gone back and looked at this. Their season openers, their first month of the season have not been that bad to the point of like where you can risk this. It'd be one thing if every game was like the first couple games of the season, they're terrible. And you're like, well, of course they're terrible. They're not getting any reps. But they've come out and been okay. Last year wasn't the best, but, you know, the previous years have been pretty good and to start the year to suggest that he doesn't need, he hasn't had a preseason snap since 2019. So I think that, I don't think that's the issue so much as it, you know, I just, you would feel, you would feel absolutely sick if something happened in a preseason game. And I think that they just don't want to risk it. They've seen it. They've seen Romo get hurt. Was that a good thing, bad thing? That's the, you know, we can debate that all day long, but your starting quarterback got hurt in a preseason game.
Nick, tell me, and Bobby, you weigh in too, if you guys agree or disagree with this. I have to start Will Grier Friday, and I have to have Will Grier play two or three quarters.
I'll weigh in on that. That depends on, I'll throw it back to you. What is your end game there? What's the agenda for you? Is it because you want to see Will Grier to be the backup to Dak?
Yes. I know. The reason I say, I know it's not going to be Joe in my mind right now. I know it's not going to be Joe. I got to see if Will can make me feel a little bit better before I go out and get one of the acquisitions that you guys were talking about. I know it can't be Joe at two.
I'd be fine with that. That's fair. That's fair to Will Grier, who's been here the whole time. Give him an opportunity to be the number two guy too. But I had no problem with that if that's the route that they go.
If you're trying to get an answer, sure. I think Schottenheimer feels like he knows Will. Like, I think he knows Will Grier, and he knows what. And so,
I don't feel like I know that Will Grier can be Cooper Rush.
No, but I think that they've got a handle on who he is. Like, I don't think they have any questions about that. I think they know, like, they've seen him in this building for years. They've seen him work with Schottenheimer concepts. So, like, I think they feel confident in who it is. If they ever had to be in a situation where it's like Milton is hurt at the end of the preseason and they got to roll into the season, sure, I think they would roll in there with Will Grier as a backup in some situations. But I do think that when you're looking at...
Wait a second. If Joe Milton's hurt, hang on. Let's just say they don't bring in another quarterback. Yeah. Give me your prediction against the Eagles who the number two is. It's not going to be Joe Milton. You just talked like Joe Milton is still the two. I'm telling you, my guess, hot take, I don't think it's a hot take. He's not going to be the two.
Yeah, I don't, man. I think they absolutely over the summer intended Will Grier to be their number two initially in terms of just if they needed to get me by game. I think as the things wore on and they were trying to get Joe reps, they anticipated, all right, Joe's going to get these reps, he's going to get prepared, and then he'll be the number two. And I think it has not gone the way they thought. And so now I don't know how they view, at this point, they're kind of stuck. And I think they're still wrestling with that. My guess would be they would probably just stubbornly say he's number two.
Who?
Milton.
Nick?
What? Grier. Grier is the number two with a guy on the practice squad that they elevate, a veteran. I can't see it. I can't see Milton being the two. I mean, I could see Grier being the two, Milton the three, but, either way. I mean, this is a thing that you hope doesn't even matter.
Right.
But unfortunately, it has had to matter the last few years. And the ironic part of it all was the guy that's on the other side over there. And I mean, it's not like Cooper Rush. Cooper Rush was Cooper Rush. I mean, he was exactly what you thought. He threw some picks,
and he
made some plays. And so, I mean, you missed that. You know, I think there's a lot of people go, man, I wish that was the backup quarterback.
I was fine with Cooper Rush, man, when he was here.
Look, he got done what he needed to. Nick Eatman joining us from DallasCowboys.com. Nick, who else stood out for you in this game on Saturday? Obviously, Booker got a lot of attention being out there. How did you think he played, and who else stood out?
I thought he played really well. And with your first round pick, you know, you get the binoculars on, you're gonna watch him. And I thought he was really good. He locked in. Now I get it. He's not playing against probably a lot of starters and all that, but you can only block who you block. And I thought he did a really good job. So he's going to be solid. I mean, not even solid. In a couple of years, when you think about Tyler Smith and Tyler Booker as your guards, I mean, that's going to be really, really good. And it may not even be a couple of years. It may be this year, which is good for this team. Now, who stood out? That's it. That's all I can think of. No, I thought it was interesting. The booth, that was an interesting situation there because, I'm not going to lie, I had him in the 90 to 91 range as far as the roster, you know, like just ranking the guys on the roster. I didn't think he was a guy that was going to be here for very long, and he may not be. But you know what? When you make a play like that, and then after that, little bit of confidence you started to see. It seemed like that kind of helped him. Now, I don't know. Teams are still going to throw at him, and he would scare you if he's the guy that has to play a lot. But you kind of wonder if making a play like that kind of buys you some time a little bit. And I will say this. I think the Cowboys, and Eberflus has always been really good with linebackers. I think the linebackers are really good. They're playing well. I think they've got a lot of depth now, and they seem to play well in this scheme. Damone Clark's playing better than we've seen him play before. Maris Leofau's playing really well, and Sanborn did a nice job. And Murray, I think he's going to be really good too. And if Overshown gets back, I just think that's a really deep position now at linebacker, maybe even too deep when you think about what you might have to do and maybe trade for different positions. Maybe linebacker's one where you could move somebody.
Given the first two games that we've seen here and the practices, everything over the offseason, who heading into the game coming up on Friday, are you saying, all right, this is the week you're playing for your spot on this roster or your job is on the line here? Who are some of the guys that stand out like that?
Like maybe a Keymon Hall. I'm trying to think of the defensive back. Zion Childress, which I think is an inside, like on the inside of the bubble right now, but you can play your way off of it. It happens too. I will never say that this game's meaningless because I've seen it go one way or the other. I saw Hunter Lipke do it. Hunter was on the outside of the bubble, I thought, in that last game, and played a really, really nice game, and they kept him. And now, I mean, I don't think there's even a question. I mean, it sounds like he's got a pretty decent spot on the team, entering year three. So my point is that, I mean, I know you're asking for guys. I just think that there's probably 20, maybe 12 to 15 is probably a better number of guys that can play their way onto the practice squad or on the practice squad, can play their way on the roster or vice versa. A lot of those offensive linemen, let's see what maybe a guy like a Johnny Cornelius, here's a draft pick that needs to kind of do something. So there's a lot of guys like that. Phil Maffa, what do we do with Phil Maffa? That's a big question too. And I'd like to see him run the ball a little bit more.
Any injury update on Mingo?
I personally, I knew you were going to ask me that. I've asked, I just haven't gotten a great answer there on that. If there, I know that there's some concern there, but I have not. I hate to say I have not got a solid answer for you.
Rank the four of us on this show in terms of comedy, please.
The four?
Yeah. Me, Peyton, Bobby, and Choppy, who is out this week on vacation.
Yeah. Oh, that's easy. That would be easy to put him in there then. to put him, like four, because he's not going to hear it, right? No. I will say, Peyton, I love you, but I mean, as far as comedy, comedy, I wouldn't. I'd put him at four. Sorry.
Yeah, Noah's better.
When I, what do you say?
Mickey's better.
Yeah, that's fine. You're hilarious now.
Yeah. Number one, let's go.
That's one of the funniest things I've ever heard. All I hear, Peyton, is you got 45 seconds to get out. Like that's it. I was doing a lot of jokes and stuff. I've heard a little bit on when I...
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report. He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
I'm driving and all that, but, it sounds like, it's a whole girlfriend bit and all that situation, moving in and all that. That seems fun. But I don't like this game. This isn't a fun game.
Who's won, Nick? Come on.
Bobby's pretty funny for me. Bobby's my guy.
Bobby's funnier than Choppy? That's really what this boils down to from a weekend argument.
To me, yeah, because I think our humor is very, very similar.
I think it's because you're out there showing all the media the things you can't say on
my
air.
My great memes. My memes are fantastic.
They do the memes. Okay.
That's true.
So yeah. Someone finally votes in the local media, Bobby over Choppy. Great stuff, brother. We'll talk to you again on Wednesday. Thank you.
Thanks. See you guys.
Nikki Mendalis, Cowboys.com. Brought to you by the Windstar World Casino and Resort. Let's crosstalk and see what they did this weekend. It's the KNC Masterpiece. Next.
And it's back to Sean and RJ on 105.3 The Fan segment here brought to you by Classic Chevrolet. If you're in the market, upgrade your vehicle. Get to Classic Chevrolet in Grapevine today. The back-to-back number one Chevy dealership in the world. More new Chevys than anyone else. All priced to sell. Visit ClassicChevrolet.com. This is Texas. This is Classic Chevrolet. Together, let's drive, relax, enjoy the difference. Based on new Chevrolet registrations 2023 and 2024.
Fourth and goal. Rush rolling right. Keeping, looking, rushed. Throws it off his back foot. Caught by Dwight Clark in the back of the end zone.
Well, Bobby.
I did like that call from Brad. Caught by Dwight Clark in the back of the end zone. It was good.
I was wondering why Nick tweeted, oh, Dwight Clark vibes on that. Nick Eatman, who just joined us. It is Sean and RJ. Choppy's out on vacation this week. We got Bobby. And
is
the
he in Michigan?
He is in Michigan.
I talked to him yesterday.
Explain.
Yesterday around 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I heard the air conditioner go, and then I felt warm air blowing out of the, and I was like, oh crap. And so I called Chop because, you know, air conditioning. And I said, hey, what are your thoughts? And he said, they're fantastic. So reached out to On Time Experts. They were out, finished everything up by 10 o'clock last night, and cool air blowing. Had to replace a fan and a capacitor.
Are you embarrassed?
I was not embarrassed, actually. Yeah. Like, there's no reason to be. I can't control that, Corey. But now it's good. Thanks a lot to On Time Experts. Angel, shout out. You're fantastic.
Yeah, dude. I'm not liking this new term. Someone tweeted me, I got sharifed over the weekend.
Oh, no.
And that his fridge went out. So I guess just loss of cool air is now being referred to as getting sharifed. So what happened to Corey with his AC.
Yeah, I got sharifed over the weekend.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Better than talking ball.
Oh, look.
Were you here for this?
No, he was not.
But I think I've heard the annoyance of that.
Yeah, it's just the ball knowers. Like, if you know ball, you know ball, and you want to talk ball.
What's coming up on the show?
Oh, man.
That's balls.
Ball? What time are y'all talking ball?
We start the show talking ball.
Hell yeah.
Especially with ball sack.
Coach, like ball knowers do.
Why does ball just have to be football, though? Do you think basketball and baseball players go, let's talk ball?
No, basketball is talking hoops.
Yeah.
Hoops.
Yeah. Okay. Baseball, nobody uses slang term for baseball.
Oh.
Yeah.
They don't talk sticks or...
Sticks.
That's hockey.
No, that's golf for Bobby.
That's talking puck. Talking puck.
Talking puck.
Yeah.
Yes.
And sticks, the golf sticks that you use on the putting
golf
green.
Sticks.
So ridiculous. We'd start things off with a Coach Balzac speech and how it fixed everything. Guys, we're back, baby. I almost quit. On Saturday, I gave up. And then after that speech, changed my life.
Oh.
Yeah. I don't know if I told you this or not.
Okay. So we won 1 out of 3. It changed his life.
Everything. I was almost ready to quit.
Give us another segment or something that we can piggyback off of.
During an NFL overreaction or reality today at 12:20. All right. This is at 12:20. I will present a Taylor Swift conversation involving the NFL.
Okay.
And how she is going to be doing the Super Bowl this year.
Plus, at some point, we need to get into this on the show. Somebody was talking smack about my wife on the airplane to Germany.
Oh. Like,
really?
That they knew her?
Nope.
No.
Okay, but was it just like, all right, I'm assuming this is your wife? Like, was there anything personal to it?
No.
Because what I'm trying to say is...
I thought her critiques were fair.
It was travel beef.
Oh, no!
Oh.
You're supporting the smack talker?
No, I'm not supporting them, but I did understand where they were coming from. All right, do you want to just tell that story now, or do you want to do golf?
Which story?
The story about the person talking smack about my wife.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you right now.
Yeah,
John,
we're not doing golf.
Wants the drama.
Yeah. All right. So, you know how when you go on an airplane, some of them have... like the touch screen that you can play games on or whatever.
Sure.
All right. So my wife does not do things super delicately. And so when she was playing on the screen, she was like, she was like,
well, like her whole open palm.
No, it was just her. I don't.
It's not going to work anyway. Yeah.
I'm not sure how to say this without it getting
cat trying
caught
to play
as
the ball
a drop. Yet. She was just using her fingers, but damn it. See, I knew there was no way to not do that.
Saturday night must be rough for you.
Crosstalk counts, Alec. You can put that in on Friday.
Yeah, it does.
She was hitting the screen way too hard, and I was like, hey, you know there's a person sitting in front of you, right?
And so I just kind of looked in front of us. And
as the, in like the, okay, so it's hitting the back of their seat.
Exactly, exactly. So I just casually like was looking ahead and I saw this lady's phone before we took off.
Oh,
and
no.
She texted and it was something to, I have no idea obviously who she was texting or whatever, but it was something to the effect of, oh, this is going to be a this is going to be a long flight. She said, the lady behind me keeps hitting the back of my chair and she is also very loud. And...
Now, when did you relay that text to your
wife? Told her pretty quickly.
Okay.
And
is she loud, like Bobby loud?
Yes.
Okay. No, I'm not as loud as me.
Yeah.
Did you say you're not as loud as you?
No, I'm saying there's no way she's as loud as me.
Okay, gotcha.
No, but she can be loud. And so I kind of got that lady's point. But then I was really happy later on when she got stuck in a line because we were on the same flight and we were leaving and they were going a different like tram or whatever than we were. And they got stuck in a line and I thought that was funny.
I don't think you can have that reaction.
I can't think that made fair point.
No, you can't be happy she got stuck.
Oh,
it's like that's like a vengeful revenge thought when she was saying true things about your wife.
You're right. I'm not supposed to feel that way, but I did.
Did your wife get offended?
She was like, well, too bad for her.
Would you say he's too objective and he's too, like he's just going to worry about objectivity, what's right more than what will
No, because he was happy that the woman suffered who was correct.
Right.
That's not being objective.
It's the conflict though. He enjoys watching somebody just have a bad time, regardless of what they said about his wife.
She still went after my wife, even if it was true.
Right.
Like,
right.
It's your family. Yeah.
It's like Scott Braun going after
Jesus. Exactly. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was like, I understand what you're saying, but damn it, that's my wife.
What I want to know is what other aspects of life does her lack of finesse show up? Like, does she just smash eggs with her hand? Like, where's her lack of being delicate show up?
She gets these random bruises on her body because she just like walks into like tables and stuff. It's really weird.
You don't even have as many tables as I have.
No, that's true.
But that sounded like being a klutz.
Yeah.
Versus not knowing your power.
She's a little clumsy is what you're saying.
She is a little. There's one of her things that she'll say is, oops, I fell over a little bit. And so like she won't actually fall on the ground, but she'll be walking and like almost, and you're like, what just happened?
She goes, stumble.
I fell over a little bit. And that lack of like coordination has definitely made its way into our younger son.
Oh.
He's not. He's great, but not very coordinated.
Yeah, when can
and he's loud too.
Oh my God, he's so loud.
Really?
Oh, he is at least as loud as you, Bobby.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah,
there's no regulator on
him. Word I would use.
All right, I need you guys to go back and forth. Like Corey, you're gonna rank one, and then I need your one.
Okay.
And then 2, 2, 3, 3, 4, 4.
And we've already established that Hagelin is the most honest and correct person in the building.
We did not say correct.
I did.
The funniest on this show in order, 1 through 4.
Me.
Now I think
not
he means
crosstalk.
Oh, y'all show.
No,
gotcha.
Before cross. No,
Peyton
is one.
Yeah.
All right, hang on.
His dry delivery is amazing.
Okay.
And it's so it. I don't know though if he's intentionally funny.
No,
or,
he's not.
Okay.
Oh, he's clumsily funny. He's like your wife. He's like Kevin Hagelin wife funny. Just run. He runs into it. He falls into the joke.
I think Bobby is number one.
Yes.
Ooh. I told Bobby one of the things that I think would hinder him. I haven't seen the updated poll.
Yeah.
I voted in it. But
oh.
I think what hinders him is a lot of his humor is not FCC compliant. And I think that might hurt his case in the general poll.
He's commercial break hilarious.
If we're on the beach, I am getting way more laughs than Choppy is in Oxnard.
Well, the thing that is hard to separate with you is... Like, if we did an annoying poll, you would lap everyone.
That literally has nothing to do with this question.
And though. I agree. But I think people factor that in because people can't be that objective and separate.
Oh.
So, like,
okay.
When they're like, well, who's the least, like, you know, likable? They mix that in without being able to say, well, Bobby's still funny. It's very, you know, it's very rare that people can separate like that and say, I think you're funny, but you're also the most annoying.
He is like, Choppy is like Adam Sandler, where Sandler's not that funny, but like people like Sandler.
Yeah.
And they're like, he's enjoyable.
There's a charm about Chop, yeah.
There's a lot of people who don't like Andrew Schultz or Tony Hinchcliffe or somebody like that. but they're funny, and they just choose to ignore that.
All right, well, Corey still hasn't answered really the base question, so we need your number two.
Choppy would be the next one in line for humor.
Who do you want writing a bit for you to deliver on the air?
Oh, do I want Anthony Jeselnik kind of bit?
You just want laughs. You want to maximize your laughs.
If it's Anthony Jeselnik, it's you, because that's dark humor that
who's Choppy
crush somebody's soul.
Yeah, stand-up comparison.
Sandler.
Does Sandler do stand-up?
He sings songs half the time and then like go,
that you write.
Yeah, exactly. That somebody else writes for him. So.
He would say, I was writing.
That's my number one right there.
I was writing and singing songs while you were in homeschool, Bobby. He did do that before you came on the show. Who's two?
Yeah, and then they got good.
Jeez. I would also say Choppy is my number two.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Three.
Sean.
I'm just messing with
me. No, it's Bob. I think Bobby's really
funny. I
can
be insulted too here. Yeah. You don't have to worry. You're just worried about Bobby's feelings.
The ranking is me, Peyton, Sean, Choppy. That's the order.
You who?
Peyton, Sean, Choppy.
Oh, my.
So I,
wow.
Choppy is, he's.
I have Choppy second.
That would hurt Choppy the most, funny. I think.
49% have voted for Choppy.
We have a funny show. I think Choppy's funny. We have a funny show.
Yeah, that's why I'm not taking offense to it. 49% RJ, 28% Bobby. 14% Pepe, only 9% for me.
So he's
but
not
are you trying to be funny? I feel like you got to
the
keep these
like,
people
if
in
If you
line.
Were to ask any, I mean, I think, if you were to ask like who any listener would want to go out and socialize with, it's definitely me.
Yeah, because you're taking care of the tab.
Well, not just, I don't want to buy my friends, Corey, you know, I was already in a fraternity, but.
Oh my gosh.
When I'm out and about, you know, joking around, yeah, like. I also think if there's anyone in the history of the station who's been saddled with more to deal with, it's also been me. Like I tell Bobby, I'm like, is it 07 LeBron? What was the first Cavs LeBron team?
Oh, yeah, 07.
I always tell Bobby, I'm 07 LeBron.
Yeah,
I'm 07 LeBron. Like, look what I've had to deal with.
So you're
look
almost what I've been to saddled the top, with. But it's not your fault.
No, it's just carrying bombs.
Yeah, okay.
You know, so wow. Like. Yeah, I can't be as funny with the stress level in my life with what I carry and have for, you know, 15 years. So
he also has to be the adult to steer us back on.
Oh, that's
when
very
Choppy
true.
And I decide to start like.
I mean, that's literally everything I just said.
Yeah, no, but I mean
that's that's a perfect microcosm.
No.
You know
no,
what I mean, Kevin?
No,
I get it, Sean.
Did I just say that?
No.
What just transpired?
No.
I understand.
Thank you,
Sean. He gets it. He worked with me and Mike for a very long time.
I understand.
So
right.
No, it's not. But the Sean's generally Sean will like to like drop one and then just kind of like move past it. Like he likes to just say it really quick and then go by. And then if you heard it, you heard it. And if you didn't, you didn't. And most of the time, Choppy doesn't hear them.
You got to respect that, though, because you'll do that sometimes.
Sure. Yeah, I do that a lot because I'm funny.
All right.
I'm very
funny. I said
funny.
You're my
I know
number
you know.
One.
I support you. You throwing me third. I don't know what to do.
The KNC masterpiece.
No pizza-thon dinners for you this year.
Is coming up next right here on The Fan.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.